Please turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 13. Every year, my wife and the kids make a book out of our family pictures. One year, we did this for 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And because we're talking about jealousy today, I thought I would mention the picture on jealousy. The picture shows Rosie and Paisley sitting at the kitchen table. Paisley has a huge bowl of ice cream with sprinkles, and Rosie has a small bowl of ice cream. And Rosie is clearly longing for Paisley's ice cream. She's jealous. Now, what's funny about that story is what happened before the picture was taken. What was originally planned was that Rosie would actually have a large bowl of ice cream with the sprinkles, and Paisley would be the one to have the small bowl of ice cream, and Paisley then would be the one pictured as longing for Rosie's bowl of ice cream. But Paisley didn't want that because she wanted the big bowl of ice cream for the picture. Ironically, Paisley was actually jealous over Rosie's bowl of ice cream, preparing for a picture to illustrate jealousy. Now, last time I spoke, we looked at patience and kindness. These are the two primary responses of Christian love. After those two love responses, we have eight negatives. You can even underline the word not in verses 4 to 6. And then there is another shift in verse 7 with four alls, which again, you could make note of that. So we'll read five verses, verses 4 to 8. Charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. That's jealousy. Love is not jealous. In the church, love is inconsistent with, it contradicts jealousy. Instead, love rejoices with others and does not long for what they have. Love is not jealous. And remember that the Corinthians are having great trouble in their church. There's bickering and fighting and the exaltation of giftedness. So you can imagine people being jealous over each other's gifts. So Paul is rebuking them. Love is not jealous. Christian love for each other is the polar opposite to jealousy. The word here translated envy can refer to a good thing, which we won't discuss, but it can also refer to jealousy or envy. We won't attempt to distinguish between jealousy and envy, but for simplicity's sake, we'll make jealousy and envy synonymous. So what is jealousy or envy? Jealousy or envy in this context is a strong desire for what someone else has, and with it can come anger, depression, and chaos. So what are we talking about? Jealousy or envy. It is an anger-filled desire for something that someone else has. Now, you may feel like that you are not a jealous person. And if that is God's viewpoint of you, praise the Lord. But the reality is, we've all been jealous. A study indicated that infants as young as 3 months old exhibit jealousy when, for example, their mother's attention is diverted by another person. And there are many studies that indicate that social media is provoking people to jealousy. If you post your workout routine on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, it can cause people to feel poorly about themselves. People are judging their own lives and their friends' lives based on their social media profile. I can't believe my friend has more likes or comments than I did. So we'll look at the descriptions of jealousy, the damage from jealousy, and we'll finish up with some direction for those who are jealous. This angry or depressive desire for something someone else has can begin rather small. It can begin with a sense of rivalry. As Ecclesiastes 4 verse 4 says, I have seen that every labor and every skill which is done is the result of rivalry between a man and his neighbor. This too is vanity and striving after wind. It's what was going on between Rachel and Leah, Jacob's two wives, and Jacob as well. Rivalry. Jacob loves Rachel more than Leah. Rachel is barren. Leah, though, is bearing children. After Leah's first son, Reuben, is born, she says, surely now my husband will love me. Leah then gives birth to Simeon, and she says again, surely now my husband will love me. Leah longs for love from Jacob, like how he loves Rachel. Rivalry. And Rachel is also jealous of Leah, so she says to Jacob, give me children or else I die. And so Rachel gives to Jacob her servant Bilhah to have children through her. Jealousy led to immorality. On one occasion in Luke chapter 9, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Luke says that they were arguing about it, and Jesus shows them a child. But you can see what's on their minds, rivalry. On another occasion, the Lord predicts his future death and resurrection, and they don't get it, and they were traveling to Capernaum. And when they went inside someone's house, he began to question them as if speaking to little children. What were you talking about on the way here? And so, of course, they were silent because they were talking about which one of them was the greatest. Rivalry. No, no, Jesus says. If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And yet, on another occasion in Matthew 20, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, with their mother, asked to sit on his left and on his right in his kingdom. And no doubt as Jesus is responding to them, the 10 other disciples begin to boil over. And sure enough, we read that the 10 become angry with the two brothers. Rivalry. And yet, even another occasion, Luke 22, the very night before Jesus is crucified, they argued again about which one of them was the greatest. Jealousy, rivalry, anger, bickering. So are you jealous? Do you have a sense of rivalry against somebody because of their gifts? Do you find yourself ever downplaying somebody else's success or spirituality and you exalt your own? Have you ever celebrated somebody else's failure? Or you delight when they fail or talk to you about their failures because it makes you feel good? You feel insecure around this person and you're constantly looking for ways in which this person has sinned or messed up. And then you may even begin to feel suspicious of their typical day-to-day activities or behaviors, or you may avoid those people that you are feeling envy for. Paul the Apostle knew of such envy. Other preachers were envious of him. The Apostle Paul is in prison, and he tells the Philippians that he's rejoicing because the gospel is advancing, but that there are some who are preaching Christ out of envy. They're jealous of Paul's ministry and the following that he has. And they think to themselves, now that Paul has been put in prison, we can get a leg up on him. There's a fable that Satan's agents were failing in their various attempts to draw into sin a holy man who lived as a hermit in the desert of northern Africa. Every attempt had met with failure. So Satan, angered with the incompetence of his subordinates, became personally involved in the case. He said, the reason you have failed is that your methods are too crude for such as this. Watch. He then approached the holy man with great care and whispered softly in his ear, your brother has just been made bishop of Alexandria. Instantly, the holy man's face showed that Satan had been successful. A great scowl formed over his mouth and his eyes tightened up. Envy, says Satan in the fable, is often our best weapon against those who seek holiness. So often in the church, people want control. They want power or prominence and snarl when others have what they want. You know you have a problem with jealousy when you feel a sense of rivalry with someone. It can start small, a little rivalry here, but really you're jealous. At the Bible school I attended, I literally had somebody tell me, I wish I had your testimony for Christ. And as I reflect back on that, I wonder if he was jealous. And boy, could I have easily convinced him, knowing myself and my own struggles, that he didn't need to be jealous. It can start with rivalry, and it can lead to anger, a kind of anger. For example, Jesus' story of the prodigal son, which we use to illustrate God's compassion, is also a story of jealousy. The man had two sons, remember. The younger son gets his inheritance early and goes out and squanders it with loose living. And having come to the end of his rope, he goes back to his father, ready to confess sin. Of course, his father sees him afar off and runs and embraces him, and they feast together. But the older son came and approached the house, and he hears the music and dancing. He asks one of the servants, what's going on? So he tells him, he says, Your brother's come back, and your father has killed the fattened calf and received him back safe and sound. Then the older brother becomes angry, was not willing to go into the feast. The father came out of the house and was pleading with the older son. The older son, though, says to the father, "Look, I served you so many years. I never disobeyed you, and you never gave me a feast like this. And when the son of yours, this son of yours who wasted your wealth on prostitutes, when he came back, you killed the fattened calf for him with this feast." Jealous anger, totally inconsistent with love. The father then appeals to this older son. "We had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was lost and has been found. Rejoice!" You have a problem with jealousy when you're not rejoicing when someone's doing well. Instead, you're irritated, resentful, upset, or angry over that person's well-being, success, spiritual gifts, or whatever. That's not love. It's the polar opposite of love. Love would rejoice with those who are more talented or gifted. Jealousy can first begin with a sense of rivalry, and second, as we studied, it can lead to intense anger. And now third, it can end in destruction. In Genesis 4, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, the Lord did not have regard. And so Cain becomes very angry. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Jealous anger destroys. And you have the story of Joseph and his brothers. Jacob's the dad, and Joseph is clearly his favorite son, playing favorites. Joseph has a dream, and his brother sheaves. In that dream, his brother sheaves are bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. And they hated him for his dreams. Woohoo! My sheaf bowing down to Joseph's sheaf? And he had another dream. "Hey, guys. The sun, moon, and 11 stars were all bowing down to me." Jacob then says to Joseph, "Come on, what's this? Are your mother, me, and your brothers all really going to bow down to you?" And his brothers are jealous of him. "Give me a break." "Tja," you could hear another one say, "great idea. Let's break his neck." And so they throw him into a pit. But instead of killing him, they decide to sell him instead. Jealousy desires to destroy. You have a problem with jealousy when you actually want that person's harm or undoing or their fall. That is the total opposite of love. Instead, love rejoices with others and does not long for what they have. Now, the Corinthian church was known for its jealousy. Let me get you to turn back to chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. One writer calls the Corinthian church the prime New Testament example of rampant corporate jealousy. Their jealousy over gifts and who they followed infected their fighting of each other. Their jealousy was what was behind the different factions. Notice Paul's condemnation here in the first four verses. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 4. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" And we learn from chapter 1 that somebody replies back, "Well, I am of Christ." The spiritually smug person, "Ha, you're of Paul. Well, guess what? Ha ha, right here, buddy. I'm of Christ." The reality is their jealousy had stunted their spiritual growth. They could not handle solid spiritual food, but only milk. Their spiritual growth was stunted because they were harboring jealousy and anger toward one another. They could not handle the meat of God's word. They always needed to be talked to with spiritual baby talk. When I was at the university I attended for seminary, I was working on a PhD in theology. I remember talking with a fellow student who could not finish his PhD, and when he was telling me that he had to drop out, I felt smug. I finished everything for the PhD, including the Greek and Hebrew comprehensive exams, but I did not do so well on the other exams, and I never got started on the dissertation. So I didn't finish either, but I have friends who finished, and the dean of the seminary warned me not to be jealous, nor to be filled with regret. I have fellow classmates who, one teaches at a world-famous organization, they pastor large churches, published many books. I can understand the temptation to be jealous. But we tend to be jealous of people who are closer to us, people we know, or people in our field of work, or those in our family. Somebody may be more socially successful than you. Either they have more and better friends, or a better dating life. Their business is more successful. They are more wealthy, or they are more talented and gifted. You wish you had their spouse. You wish you could have their kids. You wish you were better looking like they are. And so whenever you sense in yourself that you are not happy about something in your life, you must be aware of jealousy. Someone will always be more attractive, more successful, more talented, or confident. And you may end up like the queen in Snow White and ask, "Who is the fairest one of all?" And when you realize that it ain't you no more, you may begin a rivalry, become angry, or standoffish toward them, give false praise to them or whatever, and you may not want to kill them, but you would secretly delight in their downfall. If you find yourself thinking how unfair life can be, or you feel self-pity or find yourself using the "but" phrase, "She's a great singer, but her appearance is lacking. He's a hard worker, but his family is a mess. She's a wonderful homemaker, don't get me wrong, but she can't really do anything else." If you're like this, you're opening yourself up to jealousy. If you are caught up in the sin of jealousy, it is an empty and very destructive sin that has overtaken you. So now, regarding the damage that jealousy causes, the damage of jealousy. You remember Ecclesiastes 4:4, that rivalry is vanity, and striving after wind, it's fleeting and empty. But the company that jealousy keeps tells us that jealousy goes beyond just vanity. It is horrendous. Paul's different list of sins in the New Testament tell us it keeps really bad company. You know, churches can have their favorite sins that they rail on, like no theater attendance, or no watching the wrong things, or drinking the wrong things, no listening to the wrong things, no eating the wrong things, or smelling the wrong things. I don't know. But jealousy is one of those sins that is easily overlooked and that no one tends to talk about. But Paul does. Paul says in Romans 1 that lost people are filled with wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and gossips. Jealousy keeps company with murder. Romans 13:13, let us behave properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. What bad company jealousy keeps. Paul says, Galatians 5, that the works of the flesh are evident: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And those who practice such things are worthy of death. Jealousy, envy, keeping company with sorcery. It's no surprise then, given that kind of company, that since it does desire to destroy, that jealousy actually does do that. Jealousy destroys both the one who is jealous and the one against whom the jealousy is cast. Song of Solomon 8:6, in the context of the husband and wife, says jealousy is as severe as the grave. Well, you say, I don't want to kill anyone like Cain did. Sure, but jealousy destroys the one who sins with it. Jealousy destroys the one who is sinning. He destroys the jealous one. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is fierce and anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Job 5:2, for anger slays the foolish man and jealousy kills the simple. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Your spiritual and physical health will greatly decline under the influence of jealousy. And of course, jealousy can destroy the one at whom it is directed. Don't point that loaded weapon at anyone. Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Somebody who broods and stews in their jealousy, it will eventually come out in the day of vengeance. There he is, brewing, becoming bitter, angry, letting jealousy consume the mind. And over time, his life becomes a living nightmare. The heart becomes filled with hatred and animosity. It spills over into his relationships with others. Under its influence, he slowly loses control of his own soul and leaves destruction in its wake. In Shakespeare's Othello, Iago says to Othello, "Beware of jealousy, my lord. It is a green-eyed monster that makes fun of the victims it devours." Jealousy devours the one who is jealous and then mocks him. But yet it's so elusive, so secretive, like an evil henchman wringing his hands in the darkness. What is behind all of these destroyed relationships? It's like a fox. I used to live in Canada. When I lived up there, we had a fox that was near our house. If you go on a walk in the wintertime, you could see its tracks. When I would drive down our gravel road, I would see this little fox sometimes. He'd spring up and start sprinting alongside me, traveling at an amazing speed. And then all of a sudden, whew, it's gone. And if you try to chase after it, it's impossible. Jealousy is like that little fox. You could be walking along the road of life and all you see are the footprints of anger and broken relationships and you begin to wonder, how did this get here? The little fox of jealousy has been here. The evidence is clear. We have a problem, but how on earth did we get here? It could have started with jealousy. And jealousy leads to other sins. It's typically those other sins that you see. You live with the horrible sin, but you don't know what beast left those other sins behind. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan writer in his book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, writes that one of Satan's great devices against the saints is by working them first to be cold and then allowing some division and then to be bitter and jealous and then to bite and devour one another. And a church who is experiencing the pain of jealousy will begin to wonder, how did this happen? How did we get here? We see the tracks of a beast. We see such great destruction and evil. But what sinful beast caused all this? I referenced many works in preparation for this message, and one thing that stood out was how elusive this sin is. Why is there such discord in a church where previously there was such unity? At one time, we were getting along and encouraging one another, but now there's such animosity, and we don't know why. How did we get here? How did this happen? Like the most hideous, contagious disease, someone gets the disease, and it spreads. And like any form of anger, it's extremely contagious. A church member longs for control, longs for power, and then when the lust has been fulfilled, it's not as satisfying. And so jealousy against the one who seems to have the power or the gifts sets in, and so does disorder and every evil thing. James 3:14-16 says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Where the jealous fox lurks, you'll know it because it will leave behind disorder and every evil thing. It is demonic. People who are jealous cannot rejoice with those who rejoice, but love does. In many cases, it's jealousy, and the anger of jealousy has spread like gangrene. A congregation can be envious of another congregation. whose pastor they watch on the internet or TV, and they want that pastor to pastor them. A pastor can be envious because he sees another congregation responding to him in a way that his own congregation does not. A congregation can be jealous of another church's gifting, size, missionary, budget, fellowship, or whatever. So we need to be content with the gifts and the people that we have. We are not to be envious of each other's gifts, and we ought not be envious of any other church or ministry. Now, finally, three directions for those who are convicted. There is no sin conquered, there is no world conquered without the gospel. Christ's death and resurrection and the benefits are essential powers and meditations to get over any sin. It was envy that Satan used to put Jesus on the cross, as Matthew 27:18 says that the Pharisees had handed Jesus over. Why? Because of envy. They saw the crowds, they saw the miracles, the throngs of people, and it so stirred in them that they wanted that too. But praise the Lord, that very same envy that Satan used to crucify Jesus was itself paid for at that crucifixion. When Jesus was crucified, his death paid the penalty for all that envy and more, for all of time. With the power of Christ's death and the resurrection now working in you and me, trusting in him, he delivers from sin. And so with the power of Christ's resurrection at work in you, help number one, don't believe the lies. There's so many lies that are going on. You have to have this to be happy. You have to have this or that to be happy in your life. But no, don't be envious. That's a big lie. You need some woman, some work, job that you don't have and you're jealous of. No, don't believe. Repent of believing those lies and ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Number two, recognize that God is good in his providence toward you. What good thing do you have that you didn't receive? Everything good is from the Father. We don't have to be jealous of other people's gifts because God made them that way and he made you this way. There's no sense in being jealous or boasting about what God has done with you. Why are you fighting with providence? You know, you could be the moon and still be jealous of the stars. Be careful then to praise God for being so good to you. If you are trusting Christ, you have Christ's eternal righteousness credited to your account. And you have his great and precious promises. What more do you need than what he has given to you? Repent of this jealousy and know that God has been so good to you. And then thirdly, a third help, cultivate thankfulness and contentment. Just a little bit more. Is that all you need to be happy? That's not true. No, cultivate thankfulness. Be content. The very thing that you're discontent or jealous over is your idol. If you're envious of that person because of their spirituality, giftedness, or their family, that's your idol. No, cultivate thankfulness in your life by meditating on God's grace and love to you. And instead, rejoice with those who rejoice. Be thankful for gifted men and women. She's a sinner just like you. We all deserve the death penalty, but in Christ Jesus, through trusting in him, we have life in Christ. So when it comes down to it, all I really need is what God has already given to me and his precious promises in his word. And I can be entirely, yes, fully content in Christ. I can know my completeness in him because of what he has done for me on the cross. And that can be true for you as well. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would really help us not to be jealous. Help us to trust wholly in you. In Jesus' name, amen.